In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
She came for water at noonday. She was the one who had five husbands, and now she was living with another man. One usually didn't go for water in the heat of the noonday sun, but rather in the late afternoon as the day was cooling. But perhaps that's why she came at noon. Who wants to be stared at and talked about? It was easier to come to the well at noon when she could be alone. That's what sin does. It separates us and isolates us from our Lord and from one another. Jesus was at the well that day. He sees her drawing water and he asks her for a drink. But she brings up their racial differences. He continues, "If you knew the gift of God, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water." Gift, freely given, never forced. Yet she doubts. You don't even have a bucket. The Lord draws her to himself. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, but will have a spring welling up to eternal life. She's interested. Give me this water, so I never have to come to this well again. But that's not faith. She just doesn't want to come to the well. She wants to use the Lord's gift as she pleases, not as he gives it. The water that Jesus gives is the river of life, the Spirit who proceeds from the Father and Son, flowing like a river down the center of the heavenly city and watering the tree of life. This is the water that flows to you in baptism, a water with the word that wells up in faith to eternal life. But she doesn't quite get who Jesus is, other than some man offering some water that is better than what she can get on her own. He comes to this woman, clothed in humanity. How easy for her to overlook who it is that has asked her for a drink. He comes to us, clothed in vestments and a stole. How easy to overlook who it is that has bidden us to take and drink his blood shed for you for forgiveness of sins. Go call your husband. Jesus doesn't say this to shame her or accuse her the way the women of the town might do. He lets her know that he is much more than she could ever dare to think. He is greater than Father Jacob, who gave her that well, and Father Abraham and Moses. She perceives he's a prophet. Maybe he can settle the age-old question that divided the Jews and the Samaritans. Which mountain? Neither, Jesus tells her. Salvation comes from the Jews, and she's looking right at the one Jew who came to save her. Worship of the Father is through the Son, who is the truth in the Holy Spirit. It isn't about mountains, but faith that is born of water and the Spirit. The Father begets the very worshipers he seeks through water and the Spirit. Worship is not a matter of finding the right mountain, but being found by Jesus, by being born again from above by water and the Spirit, by dying and rising in him. You don't get close to God by climbing up mountains toward him. God comes down from heaven to you to embrace your flesh and blood humanity, to take it to his cross and tomb and resurrection. Worship is receiving by faith what Jesus gives to you. This woman knows a Messiah will come. She looks for someone far off. He directs her to himself. I am the Christ, the one who saves. Jesus shows up at the well thirsty at noon, the same hour on Good Friday when Jesus is led on his way to be crucified. There on the cross, as he cried out in thirst, he died for all. Yes, even this Samaritan woman. There is where the living water flows, from the water and blood flowing from his crucified side, from the cross to the baptismal font then on to you. That's why the baptismal font is where it is. Baptism is not something that happens and then is in the rearview mirror of our lives. There is no other way, no other life, than through and in holy baptism in which we live each day. The Samaritan woman had a messy life, yet Jesus deals with her as she is and receives her as one he came to seek and to save. A Samaritan woman with a past and not much of a present, who doesn't even have her religion in order, is loved by God in Jesus. And he is there for her as no man had ever been in her life, as no one could be, giving her the gift of eternal life. There is no life that is so messed up. There is no person beyond the scope of the love of Jesus who intentionally goes out to gather in the lost one, the despised one, the rejected one. No wonder sinners were drawn to Jesus. He gave them dignity. He gave them life. He made their broken lives whole again. How comforting to hear our Lord's absolving words that give life when we are embarrassed about our lives and would just as soon sneak to the well at noon. We're so accustomed to wearing our Sunday best and pretending that all is well with us when it isn't. We forget that we come to worship, to receive, as broken, poor beggars. Yet the Lord is there to draw us, to give us a drink to quench our thirst, a drink welling up to eternal life. In the name of Jesus.